We are Two Guys Gaming. Hello and welcome. As always, even though we are under the banner Two Generations Gaming, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series, I am reading and reacting to Ready Player One, the novel by Ernest Cline. I again unintentionally took a week off. I thought I might be able to keep up with it last week, but graduation and my mother visiting kept me from keeping my schedule. However, and you're probably getting sick of hearing this, I did come up with another schedule to get me done by the time we go to Germany, because I do still have some wiggle room, although I am rapidly running out of that wiggle. Nevertheless, in this episode, I will be recapping chapters 23, 24, and 25, and then reacting to them, and I will let you know what the schedule holds for this week going forward. Chapter 23. Zork resides on a planet Frobos in a group of worlds called the XYZZY cluster. I looked that up. Apparently it refers to a quote-unquote cheat code to one of the old text-based games. Fitting, because each of the worlds is dedicated to either a text-based adventure or MUD. Remember when I referenced them a couple episodes ago when I talked about my wife and I meeting at a chat room based on the old MUD code? Yeah. So we are back there in order to find Zork. Wade goes on to explain the text-based adventures for the uninitiated out there. See why I question when I first heard the accusation of gatekeeping? This book might be guilty of some things. I outlined some of them over the episodes in this series. But gatekeeping is not one of them. Sorry, editorializing in the summary again. Well, Wade feels dumb that he never considered Zork. The game starts outside the shelter house, parenthetically, dwelling long neglected, and inside the house is a trophy case. Parenthetically, trophies all collected. So, like the first key that existed under his nose for so long, he feels stupid for taking as much time as he did to solve the riddle of Zork. Plus, H basically handed it to him on a silver platter, and he didn't really figure it out himself. He figures that the planet will be crawling with Sixers. After camping Sector 7, they only need to use the tablet again to zero in on the location of the next one to find the key. Turns out to be H, of course. So, Wade needs to engage stealth mode to get onto the planet. He can cloak the ship, use a ring of teleportation, and have the cloaked ship beat him on the planet. Like the planet with Halliday's house, there are 512 identical copies of the game on the planet. Wade picks one at random and goes. He finds himself in the game of Zork. And now I need this stupid book because I put something down here that I have to read. The game starts as follows. West of house. You are standing in an open field west of a white house with a boarded front door. There is a small mailbox here. And then there's a little text indicator where you put in your response of what you want to do next. Entering the house in the only manner possible, parenthetically, remember the front door is boarded up, he finds himself in the kitchen. It looks as he expects with a few additions. A stove, refrigerator, chairs, a table, and some cupboards. In those cabinets, the usual sundries, cereal included. He finds the whistle in a box of Cap'n Crunch. Well, he was right about that part, at least. He tries the whistle for shits and giggles. Of course, it doesn't work. He needs to collect the trophies. The game plays as he expects, and he finishes it in 22 minutes. Shortly after finishing, the Vonnegut shows up. Meanwhile, he blows the whistle and gets a key, but it's silver, not jade. Then he notices that it is covered in a silver foil. When he removes that, he sees the next clue on the jade key. Continue your quest by taking the test. Nothing comes to him immediately. Then his concentration is interrupted by Sixer gunships invading the space. He runs to his ship. The Sixers see him and pursue. Discretion is sometimes the better part of valor, and he runs. While he survives, his ship takes heavy damage from the attacks. While getting repairs, he watches for others to get the Jade Key. Sorrento comes next, which, before, predicted other Sixers. But in this case, Shoto follows. Wade expects Dido next. Then Dido's name disappears from the board. Oh crap. Chapter 24. All hell continues to reign over the planet. The Sixers try to blockade all instances. The Gunters show this to be a foolish strategy and inflict heavy losses. So they retreat to 10 adjacent areas near the South Pole. They then farm the key, much as they were able to do with the first one. With Dido out of the running, parenthetically, you have no idea how long I thought to make that respectful, and I still failed. Sorrento grabs one of the quote-unquote high-five spots. Rumors abound of the fate of Dido, but nobody knows for sure. Wade reaches out to Shoto, but no response. So, he goes back to trying to figure out the new clue. What test? Kobayashi Maru? Pepsi Challenge? He thinks that the silver foil is itself a clue. A reference to Wonka, maybe? Wouldn't that be too perfect with my kids starring in the musical this year? Alas, no golden ticket. Also, no clue on the meaning of the riddle. Wade gives up and goes to sleep. His scoreboard alert wakes him. Artemis? H? Maybe even Shoto? Nope, Sereno. Oh shit, it just got real. This breaks Wade. He tries H. No answer. Considers reaching out to Shoto. No? Dido just died. Maybe even Artemis? She obviously doesn't answer. Unable to sleep, he watches the feeds. Without a real friend left, he talks to Max. The AI keeps up its end of the conversation until it simply runs out of prompts and then reminds Wade just how sad and lonely he is. To make matters worse, the Sixers get to farming the second gate. Then Sorrento gets the crystal key. Well, hell, is this not going to give us a fuzzy happily ever after? Wade goes very dark at the revelation of this news. He's going to give his stuff away to one of his fans. Then he'd blow himself up in his stronghold in the Oasis. Then he'd go up to the roof of his apartment building, climb the plexiglass barrier, and jump. The only part of the plan to cement? What song to play as he plummets to his death? And that's exactly how it's put in the chapter. The phone rings. Shoto. Wade lets it go to mail. Idiot. Eventually he gets over himself and calls Shoto back. The man is an absolute wreck. Wade realizes that even in his own despair, that Shoto is worse off. He has to meet Wade to both tell him of Dido's fate, parenthetically, oh shit, and execute his last will by delivering something to Wade, parenthetically, oh double shit. Wade, thick as ever, wonders why the well. Shoto will explain when they meet. Chapter 25. Shoto turns up in their ship, named the Kurosawa, and similar to the Bebop from Cowboy Bebop. They greet in the traditional San fashion. They also exchange a high five, which cheers Shoto for a minute, but he quickly slips back into his darkness. They go to one of Wade's sitting rooms, dolled up to look like the family ties living room. Shoto approves with a nod, then sits on the floor, legs folded under him. Wade matches the gesture, and they sit in silence for a while. Wade allows Shoto to break the silence. The Sixers killed my brother, he says. Wade, frustratingly thick at this point. You mean his avatar? Shoto, patient. No, they broke into his apartment, took him from his Oasis rig, and threw him off the balcony. 43 floors. Similar to the bomb in Wade's ghetto, the news reports his death as a suicide. Wade tries to remain neutral and question if it really was a suicide. Shoto insists, and Wade drops the pretense. He knows. Shoto reveals his real name, Akihide. Wade returns the favor. He also goes on to give Dido's real name, mentioned in the article, Toshiro Yoshiaki. He repeats it because he only learned it from the article. Wade, just showing no sense at all, seems stunned. I thought you were brothers. Nope, only in the Oasis. But Wade sympathizes. He only knows Artemis and H through the Oasis. He again says that it's the only reality that they know. Shoto and Dido met in a support group, young people who withdrew from society. They became fast friends, partners, and eventually brothers. As expected, they took their names from samurai movies. Being the first Japanese avatars to clear the gate, they became celebrities there. Cartoons, shows, endorsement. The whole shebang. Then, Shoto tells Wade how Dido died. They followed Sixer ships to Phobos. Shoto went to clear first while Dido kept guard. As Shoto finished, Sixer ships showed up. They run for their ship. Overrun, Dido uses the Ultraman artifact and starts taking numbers. Two things conspire against him. The limited time and Sixer's breaking into his apartment. Shoto, he says, I think someone is here. Someone is inside. Then, radio silence. And Dido's avatar froze. The Sixers take full advantage and kill him out of the Ultraman before killing his avatar. Shota runs to collect Dido's belongings and then gets back to his ship for the escape. Wade wonders how they found Dido and then warns Shota that he could be next. Shota assures him that he's taken precaution. He then offers the capsule to Wade, who reluctantly accepts because Shota won't take no for an answer. Through the rest of their conversation, he states that he no longer quests after the egg. He has a new goal with a new ending. Revenge for the death of his brother. Wade gives him a Masume plus 5 Vorpal Blade, and then they bid each other farewell. Hopefully they agree there's still time to beat the Sixers to the finish line. And now for my reaction. I struggled a bit with the overall theme of this episode. Initially, when Wade talked to his bot until the programmed prompts ran out, I wrote AI in the margin as a possibility, but I think that was just recency bias. After work the other day, a colleague and I discussed our days. She said something about how she found it frustrating that her kids don't understand how to properly research. Who needs it, she sardonically asked, when you can Google? I admit that more than once, I agreed with the point that I read many years ago. With the advent of Google, our roles as educator has changed. Because anyone can, in fact, Google most things, we need to shift our focus to giving them the skills to Google properly in order to filter the good from the bullshit. So I sympathized with her while understanding that times change. We either change with them or become the outdated old geezers that everyone hates. With all of that being said, my contribution to the conversation, parenthetically, mind you, trying to be helpful went, and just wait until AI becomes more common. A student just spent 45 minutes talking to a fucking robot. We talked back and forth about that for a bit, and yes, we sounded just like the old geezers that everyone hates. I guess if the hat fits. Ultimately, AI ended up being less of a focus than anticipated in these chapters. Also, I realized that my decision stemmed from my own frustration and not in response to the book. I went back to the writing board and waited for something else to catch my attention. It did during my reread of the chapters in order to do my summary right. It came to me in a flash of inspiration, both a response to something that happened to me and what happened in the book. It represents a true reaction and belongs here now. If you're waiting for one of the other topics, I promise they're coming. Not next episode, but the one after. Stay patient, please, and come back soon. For this episode, I settled on the concept of quote-unquote triggers. Again, this topic came to me as a reaction to something in real life that marinated for a bit and combined with the plot from the book to give me an idea. So, I ran with it. Wade again contemplates suicide. He seems sincere in his desire to die this time. Dido gets thrown from his balcony, and they report it as a suicide. So my idea for the theme this time centers around triggers and trigger warnings. I can feel some of you pressing stop right now. Hey, that's your prerogative. But I think you'll miss a good discussion on an interesting topic. I give that explanation because I noticed a post on social media. Yeah, I know. Many of my epiphanies start with some sort of media. I've discussed this more than once. Sometimes it feels weird that I consider some milestones in my life by the media consumed. But those aren't the only markers. And they often aren't even the most important ones. But media is a part of our lives, and we should acknowledge when it changes or affects us. Okay, mini sermon over. This post showed a sign in the window of some sort of establishment. The sign read, quote, "Your triggers are, underlined, your responsibility. It isn't the world's obligation to tiptoe around you," end quotes. First, who hurts you? If your response to someone being hurt by something you said is to attack and shame them further, well, that sounds like a you problem to me. Is it really that hard for people to consider the feelings of others? When I taught college, I made an offhand comment about suicide as a joke. I know, a bit extreme. Well, the comment upset some students, and they rightly went to the dean about my comment. The dean spoke to me, I apologized, and the rest of the semester went off without another incident. No unnecessary escalation, just a quick resolution of an unfortunate misunderstanding. Look, I admit, I fell for the quote-unquote life isn't fair trap for a long time, but as I've done with many of my assumptions about life, I reevaluated. Why, I asked, why can life not be fair? Yep, this is part of the show where you call me a hippie commie cuck. But honestly, why? I also saw a post that said, why don't we make life easier? Have we tried that yet? Look, scream all you want about the world going soft and participation trophies. I just don't think that we need to make it quite so hard. If you believe the challenge breeds character, things can be challenging without making them a constant struggle. I looked at my cat this morning and thought, They and my dog stay home all day, do whatever the hell they want, and we have the audacity to say that we're the superior species? What does all of this have to do with trigger warnings? Well, it just seems to me that it's a small concession to make that makes life slightly less of a struggle. Yes, you might argue that it makes more challenging for you to have to consider the feelings of others, but I argue that's a good struggle to endure. This chapter mentions suicide and death. Understandably, many people find this disturbing. I imagine those that don't have just buried their feelings. I know that I dealt with the death of my father in an unhealthy manner for a long time. So, learn from my mistakes. If you think that showing each other respect is too much to bear, then kindly reconsider. We can all get along in the sandbox. Well, that's the show for this time. As always, thanks for listening. If you haven't already, you can find us at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles, links to our socials, including our YouTube. I have, again, gotten a little bit behind on the daily calendar, but I will get caught up today, and then I will be current tomorrow. Today's page was just about leveling up, so I will do that and tomorrow's page tomorrow and put that onto the YouTube and hopefully get current for a couple of weeks until we go away to Germany. I still have no plans for when we go away to Germany, but I probably won't figure it out. I'll probably end up having to catch up when we get back. Or maybe I'll take the pages with me. I don't know. We'll see. So the plan for this series is that on Wednesday, I'm going to do chapters 26 and 27. That will take us to the end of level 3. And then over the weekend, I'll do the next 3 chapters. And that will put me on schedule to be done, I think, right before we go away to Germany. Or maybe it's the last day of school, I think, is when I'll finish up, which will be a week before we go away to Germany. So yeah, right about then. I will talk to you on Wednesday. See you then. Bye, guys.
We are...